Good morning. My name is Greg Frank. I'm the hearings officer that will be hearing the case before us this morning. This is case number 2110010. This is City of Portland versus NNT LLC. What I'd like to do to start with, because I understand from my clerk that there's and having reviewed a document this morning, which I will refer to, but I'd like to identify the persons who are present and going to be speaking. So we'll start over here.
excuse me. I'm Benjamin Walters, Chief Deputy City Attorney, City of Portland, City Attorney's Office.
And your address is at the City Attorney's Office?
Yes.
All right. Sir?
Good morning, Hearings Officer Frank. I'm Michael Mills, M-I-L-L-S, 715 Commercial Street, Northeast, Salem, Oregon, 97301.
All right. Who's going to speak first? I understand there's the settlement that you'd like me to take a look at, and so kind of paint me a picture so I know where I'm supposed
okay.
to be going.
The City of Portland had filed a complaint with the hearings office alleging violations of the city's time, place, and manner ordinance by Portland City Code Chapter 14B120 by the NNT LLC business entity operating under the assumed business name of the Gossip Sports Bar, located out on 132nd and Gleason in Northeast Portland. And the city was prepared at the hearing to present evidence, including police testimony regarding those violations. The parties have arrived at a stipulated resolution involving a compliance plan for the operations of the business to address the violations and the concerns that the city had. The respondent disputed the city's allegations and was prepared to put on a defense of those allegations, but in light of the resolution arrived at by the parties have dismissed their various witnesses and have come before you to submit the stipulation for your consideration.
All right. I'm going to ask my clerk to just hand out a list to you because I'm going to go through some administrative things or
okay.
logistical things, and I want to make sure. Mr. Mills, anything further?
No, I agree with Mr. Walter's recitations, Hearings Officer Frank.
All right. I'm going to run down some things that I just want to make sure that I am comfortable with. All right. You have in front of you what we do for every case. It's an exhibit list, and I just want to get it out of the way. Are we going to include any of those into the would any of those be offered as exhibits into the official record of the case?
So
we have a unique, I have a unique policy here, and that is because we deal so often with no attorneys. It's a nice thing to have attorneys, at least in most cases. And so I don't admit anything without it being offered. And it's very different than circuit court, and I understand that, so I'm going to follow that process. Is there anything on the exhibit list you want or do not want included in the official record?
The city would offer the following exhibits. Exhibits 2 through 6, exhibits 9 through 15, I'm sorry. And then exhibits 25 through 26. And exhibit 31 and 32. Now there was a, the city did file a response to a motion for summary determination, but I don't know what number that exhibit was identified as.
40.
And then the city would submit that as well. I don't have the most up-to-date exhibit list, so.
Okay, it should be, we just should have handed it to you. So if you look on the back page. Should be a one sheet.
All right, okay. Yes, exhibit 40 and 41. I mean, 40 and 40A, and then 41 is the stipulation.
Mr. Mills?
Thank you, Hearing Officer Frank. Respondent would request 23 and 24. And then I'm unsure of the number, because I'm not sure of the way you would identify it, of a email summary of exhibits that go to the declaration and the motion, which is 23. 24.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Which ones you're referring to? I see some emails at 30.
Letter with attachments. I think, yeah, I'm going to.
There's
I
a
think
bunch of 30s. It's got a memo, emails.
Oh, I
emails.
See. You identify each page separately.
Correct.
Don't you? Then I would ask that 30 through 30
Z?
M.
M? Got it. Anything additional?
City has no objections.
We have no objections to the city's either.
All right, so I'm going to review these real quick so that we just have a neat and tidy record. Exhibits 2 through and including 6 were offered by the city and admitted without objection. Exhibits 9 through and including 15 were offered by the city, no objection. Exhibits 23 and 24 were offered by the respondent, no objection. 25 and 26 by the city, no objection. 30 through 30M offered by respondent, no objection. 31 and 32 by the city, no objection. 40, 40A, and 41A by the city with no objection. Mr. Walters, I added 41A.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think you brought it up.
That's fine.
All right.
Thank you.
So is that clean?
Hearings Officer Frank, I noticed that it appears that the 30 series goes through Z.
It does.
So in addition to the ones that you have mentioned, 30N through 30Z, I would offer.
Mr. Walters?
No objection.
All right. So we will add basically all of the 30s as exhibits. So I just wanted to know what the record was going to look like. Actually, I'm going to include a couple others real quick. I'm going to include Exhibit 1, which is the complaint, on my own motion. I'm going to include Exhibit 21 and 22, which are mailing lists that we prepared. Well, I'm not sure we prepared, but that we used. And 22 is a notice of a hearing. Another notice of hearing, two more, 27, 29. As well as 28, which is a request for postponement. So I'm going to add those on my own motion. I'm assuming there's no objection to those.
No objection
to those. I would, in light of that list, then, I would also identify 34 and 39. 34 being a request for production of documents, and 39 being the hearings officer's ruling on the request.
Okay. Mr. Mills?
I have no objection.
All right, those will be admitted as well. All right, let's move on to Exhibit 41A, which is the proposed stipulated order. Generally, I don't have any problems. I want to make sure on the record that I have a full understanding and the parties have an understanding of a couple things. I'd like you to turn. I'm going to go sort of back to front. Is I'm assuming that exhibit paragraph 5, the retention of jurisdiction, would concur with paragraph 6, the period of 1 year, but it doesn't say so, I don't believe, precisely. So I'm just asking the question, is there supposed to be a term for the retention of the jurisdiction?
The party's understanding is that the retained authority would continue through the date specified under 6. So, yes.
So it's the 1 year?
Yes.
I concur.
All right. So I just, what I'm trying to do is, since you took the time and the effort to come here, I just wanted to make sure we put in the record so that there is no future misunderstanding as to that. Now I'm back to the first page. Having heard, at least, or been involved with a couple of this type of cases before, and recognizing at least one of the persons in the audience, and having had stipulated agreements before, and having at least one of those come back with some disagreement, I want to make sure that I at least have an understanding, if it would come back during the year, that I understand sort of the intent of this. So I'm looking at, I believe, paragraph 2, 1B2, 1B2 on the first page. There, I guess because I'm involved in some cases now where definitions are really important, I'm looking at alcohol monitor. Do we have a mutual understanding of what an alcohol monitor means? Is there somewhere we look for a definition for an alcohol monitor, or do we need a definition of alcohol monitor? I'm going to be picky with this stuff simply because I want to make sure that when I see you again, you don't say, I didn't understand it that way. I do not. We had an issue with what is a shot, for God's sakes. I'm not going there again. That was a discussion that was, I don't want to have to argue about that.
Understood. I do believe that is a term of art within the industry in terms of what an alcohol monitor is. But if we could take a second to confer, what the people in the audience are Officer Craner from the Police Bureau and Teresa Marchetti from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, my clients, not Mr. Mills. Okay. So if we could take just a minute.
Okay. What I'd ask you to do then is make notes as we go down, and okay, then if there are multiple things, we don't have to take more than one break.
That's fine.
All right. On the very top of page 2, there's letter F, and it says respondent shall cause an incident log to be kept. Is there a duration or a term that the log is to be kept? I'm simply going back in my background, not so much with this Oney case kind of case, but we have a limited transportation case, I think it was yesterday, that log keeping, how long logs are supposed to be kept, became the sole issue. And so I would have probably picked this up had I not had the case yesterday or the day before.
The all of the terms identified in 1 under the compliance plan,
okay,
it is the city's understanding that all of these will be complied with and maintained for the duration of the time specified in paragraph 6.
So the 1 year?
Yes.
Okay.
At least insofar as enforcement terms go. Now, it may well be a good business practice to continue to have this long after, but it is not something that will be a subject to this particular stipulation.
Mr. Mills.
Hearings Officer Frank, I also understand, I've done some OLCC work, and I understand that a log pursuant to OLCC practices should be kept on the premises and available for inspection by either the representative of the Portland Police Bureau or the OLCC.
For any period of time?
Well, at least for the 1 year.
Okay, so we agree that the I think we can maybe eliminate some of my concerns is that all the obligations, 100% of the obligations are to extend for the 1 year.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that helps me a lot. All right, with the exception of what I just raised, and I think we've clarified, I'm going to give you a 5-minute recess unless I hear it needs longer. And what we're looking at is only one thing, and that is the alcohol monitor and whether or not it needs further definition. Okay, we'll be back in 5 minutes. All right, gentlemen.
Okay. Parties have had an opportunity to confer, and as to the alcohol monitor, will be an employee of the business with whose exclusive responsibilities will be to monitor consumption by patrons of alcohol and their state of intoxication, and if any of those persons is determined to be what's known in the industry parlance is a VIP, a visibly intoxicated person, then that person, upon that determination by the alcohol monitor, will be excluded from the premises. And those will be the sole duties of the alcohol monitor during the times of the business operation.
Hearings Officer Frank, that's my understanding also.
So alcohol monitor is a employee of the business, which is respondents, that has exclusive responsibility, that person's exclusive responsibility is to monitor alcohol consumption and take various actions, and I'm just going to leave it at that. All right, if I, in my order adopting the stipulated order as part of my order, add that language, basically defining alcohol monitor to be the employee of the business whose exclusive responsibility is to monitor alcohol consumption, with various, I'm just going to leave it monitor because that's what's is that acceptable?
That would be acceptable.
That's acceptable.
All right, and I will probably also include a clarification with respect to the jurisdiction extending for the 1 year, and also that unless specifically noted otherwise, all obligations remain for 1 year.
That's fine. Hearings Officer Frank, if it would be of a convenience to your office, we could transmit this document to your office electronically for inclusion in whatever order you wind up adopting.
Not necessary.
Okay.
I appreciate the offer, not necessary. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take Exhibit 41A. I will attach it to my order as a physical attachment. And my order portion will basically say that the attached order is my order, subject to the following clarifications, and I will have, I think there's three of them, the alcohol monitor, the general term of the obligations, and the jurisdiction. I want to make sure that I know that. Other than that, I will not tweak with your order. Any further questions or concerns, comments?
Hearing Dr. Frank, no, we have none.
No, not at this time.
All right. I appreciate it. Mr. Walters is going to go. Yeah, right. But I will try to get this out within this week. This is not a complicated one, obviously. So I will try to get it out this week. For all parties involved, my orders are always appealable under the writ of review. So the appeal period, my orders don't tend to become effective for 14 days, so this order will roughly will put the effective date in the order, and it will also include the appeal information. It would seem to me, based on the stipulated order and what we've just talked about, appeal by either party is going to be fairly fruitless, but I just wanted to let you know that was part of the process. All right. Thank you. We'll close here.
Thank you very much.
Hearings Officer Frank, we also wish to thank you for setting this at a later time. And we didn't know the weather was going to be like it was. And I come from the South, so it was very opportune.